Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, thank you for that. We consider that a sign of high intelligence. You're going to be glad you did, because you're going to get smarter right now, because our good friend Rich Galen is back with us. Rich is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the publisher, the writer, the editor, the accountant, and the janitor over at Mullings.com, which is an outstanding cyber column on all things political. And he is one of the top Republican political operatives in the country, and he's our good friend. Rich Galen, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Nice to be with you again.
It's good to have you back. Hey, Mr. Obama, President Obama, went to Europe this last week.
Yeah, the magical Michelle tour, kind of.
How did he do?
You know, I think on balance he did very well. I mean, although you have to do something that has some long term meaning, but that's not the way these guys operate, you know, most of the time. What they really wanted and what they really got were the pictures of, you know, 10,000 and 20,000 people standing in these grand plazas cheering the President of the United States. So they got what they wanted. What they didn't get was an agreement on, you know, on international rules and regulations with respect to financial institutions. And what he really didn't get, and this has been glossed over, but this is the big thing he wanted out of NATO. He didn't get the promise of combat troop support,
right,
for Afghanistan. What he got were training brigades. But as you and I both know, it's one thing to be sitting, inside the green zone and somebody,
right,
out there doing a job.
Well, you know, he did say some things. He went over and kind of disparaged America a little bit, and I can see where in certain circumstances that it would be appropriate to say, okay, guys, you know, maybe we've been a little heavy-handed from times in the past. We're going to do better next time. But I, as you say, he didn't get anything for that. I feel like all we got was we gave up some stuff, but we didn't get a lot back.
Yeah, there's a rule that nobody pays attention to, that you're not supposed to say, if you're a public official in America, you don't say anything bad about the president when the president is outside the country. But I think we need a new rule that if you're the president outside the country, don't say,
right,
anything bad about Americans.
Right.
I
agree.
Really,
and exactly. And, you know, one of the things, he got scuffed up a little bit by some of the leaders over there. And it was a little bit funny, because a lot of people have always thought, like for the last 8 years, that Europeans were treating America the way they treat America because of George Bush. And I've always said it's not because of George Bush completely. Some of it probably was. But a lot of it is just because a lot of Europeans are jealous of America, and it doesn't matter who the president is, they're going to behave that way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they look at what we have, and we have this vast land area. It's all one country. It's not a cobbled together European Union,
right,
that, you know, that's kind of hanging on by a thread every day. We have enormous resources, and we have enormous drive. I mean, when America says this is what we're going to do,
right,
generally speaking, America does it. Sometimes it turns out the way we want. Sometimes it doesn't, but our intentions generally are good. But the net result is that that they have to, you know, they're living under a cloud, economic and political cloud, always, and we generally have clear skies in both of those areas.
Well, the thing that we love about Europe, the tradition, the history, the you know, all of that, the antiquity, all that stuff from a current event standpoint becomes baggage when it filters into your politics and your economics. We don't have that kind of baggage over here.
No, and they, a friend of mine who's a serious central banker, I was on somewhere the other day, and I said everything I know about economics I learned from QuickBooks. But he said that that he would be surprised if the euro survives this economy. That
interesting.
The notion of Germany having to prop up, Italy and Spain and Portugal.
Yep.
Is maybe just too overwhelming, and they may just say, "Well, you know, that was a nice experiment, but it ain't working for us."
And that is very interesting, because it's only been about 18 months ago the euro had already been deemed an incredible international success story.
Yeah, you'd notice that nobody wants it to be the petrodollar, even Hugo Chavez.
Right, right. Now that's interesting. Now, and folks, we're not saying that with any kind of glee at all.
I am.
We just you are. I'm not. No, I'm not. I don't feel that way about the euro, but it is interesting. Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen, you get warts and all with him. 20 Tales, stay with us.
You're in an awful fix.
Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for using it. If you got 5 seconds or 15 minutes, we got something that will help you anywhere from something to read to something to listen to in those time frames. And for anything under the small business sun, my blog is there. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. My new blog post is about generations working together without creating a casualty list. And then my knowledge base, AskJim.biz, is there. Also, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, and that's right there off the homepage as well, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Rich Galen is our guest. His website is mullings.com. That's where you can get his thrice-weekly cyber column on all things politics. If you're a Republican, you're going to want to see what he's got to say. If you're a Democrat, you're going to want to see what he's up to. Rich, I want to continue just for a little bit on President Obama's trip to Europe. One of the things that concerned me a lot was how it seems that the president of Russia, Medvedev, is that how you say his name?
Right.
That how he seemed to have a new comrade. Now, that's the way it was reported, was that this is his new comrade in Mr. Obama. Let me tell you something, Rich. When I heard that, when I saw that, all I could think about was Jimmy Carter in 1977 with the SALT II treaties, when he basically put our country at risk by believing that the Russians were going to play nice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I could think about. How far off am I?
Not very at all. As a matter of fact, immediately after that happened, the North Koreans launched a rocket that was an illegal launch.
With impunity.
In terms of what they've agreed to do and not do. And Medvedev's Russia, along with the Chinese, refused to agree on a UN Security Council resolution condemning the North Koreans. So the charm offensive lasted about 18 minutes.
Yeah. Well, and then of course Iran came up, and I heard one of the Kumbaya crowd say, "Well, let's just get the Russians and the Chinese to help us, put pressure on them." And I said, "Wait a minute. Russia and the Chinese are doing business with Iran. Why would they put pressure on them?"
Yeah, and they always have been, whether it was legal or not legal.
Russia's helping them build their nuclear capability.
Yeah, the French were sending stuff over there, too. I'm not sure if they still are. But.
So I don't know how, I've never cared, frankly. I want everybody to like us, Rich, but if they don't, I don't care. Now, if that makes me an ugly American, then so be it. But all I know is when somebody on this planet needs to push the button for 911, they hope to heck that America answers.
You know, I did.
They don't want to dial 911 and say they don't want to dial 911, Rich, and say, "Oh my God, please don't let it be the French's night to answer 911."
Exactly. I did a lecture once to a bunch of third world journalists for the State Department. This is about a year and a half ago. And some guy from like Cote d'Ivoire or someplace was chiding me about Panama. And I said, "Panama? What are you talking about?" Well, because he was still mad about the fact that we picked up Noriega and flew him back here and stuck him in jail. I said, well, and that's exactly what I said. I said, well, you know, the next time that there is a flood, or I said, and he said it was against the UN. I said, first of all, we pay one out of every $5 that the UN wastes.
Right.
Comes out of our pocket. And, you know, the UN whines about the fact that we're not paying our fair share. But if we're not paying our fair share, then nobody's paying any share. But I said, the next time something bad happens, the next time you have tribal warfare or a flood or a drought or, you know, whatever goes wrong, why don't you call the UN? Don't bother us. That'd be fine.
Right. Rich, you've done.
The government never asked me to do that again, by the
way. Right. you've done quite a bit of work. You've traveled the world. You spent a tour in Iraq and other places. You've done your part as a civilian to fight terrorism. How do you feel about now? I guess what we're going to call it now. You're not going to call it the war on terror. I guess we're going to call it the campaign against those mean people. Is that
no,
what?
No, that's not even that. It's an overseas contingency operation. So I don't know what happens if, God forbid, somebody comes over here. I guess we have to call it.
Is it now? Are we now back to the idea that dealing with terrorism is a police action?
It's not even that. It's what Dennis Miller called. We're going to vernacularize them.
Yeah. Take that, you terrorists.
Yeah, we'll show you sticks and stones, man.
Yeah.
It is worse than that. I mean, I really do think that the president and a lot of his people, this is a jolt kind of reaction to what has become known as the neocons in Washington, where they're accused of having seen terrorists under every rock. And, you know, frankly, in Iraq, there were terrorists under every rock. But the... But these guys, I mean, I really do believe that the former Vice President Cheney was correct when he was asked flat out by John King on CNN whether he thought President Obama was making America safer, and he simply said, "No, I don't." I mean,
yeah.
I saw those reports every day.
Well, isn't this what got? Isn't this what allowed? Isn't this kind of an attitude what allowed Osama bin Laden to flourish?
Well, whether it's Osama bin Laden or whatever comes next. I mean, certainly the Taliban in southwestern Afghanistan is unfortunately southeastern Afghanistan is flourishing there, and you know the horror of this, as you and I have talked many times. My wife used to work for the Department of Homeland Security, and she used to come home at night with her eyeballs going around in circles. And I'd say, "What's
yeah.
wrong?" She couldn't tell me, and I said, "Just
yeah.
give me like a code word, and I'll move to Ohio."
Yeah, and she said,
and
the code word was run, right? Hold on to that thought, Rich. Got to take a quick break. Folks, when we come back, I want to get Rich to talk to us about some of the legislation that's being proposed right now that will affect your business, your small business and mine. And we'll do that right after these messages. And I'm going to try to stick in the future of the GOP also. We're back at 7-2. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Rich Galen. Mullings.com, right, Rich?
Mullings.com, yes, sir.
MULLINGS.com. Folks, I encourage you to check it out and receive his thrice weekly cyber column. It's outstanding, very well written. Rich is one of the best political writers that I know and one of the funniest, too, by the way, folks. He gets the message across and makes you laugh, too. Rich, several things that I predicted wouldn't happen are happening. I predicted before the election that Mr. Obama would go after pushing unions. He would push the health care reform to get universal health care, that he would focus on the cap and trade. I said he would do that. Then as the economy melted down more, in my 09 predictions, I predicted he would put off the cap and trade of the union bills for a year at least until the economy came around. But you know what, Rich? I was wrong. Apparently, he thinks these are important, and now the so-called erroneously named Employee Free Choice Act is in both houses, moving through both houses of Congress. This is an assault on businesses, including small businesses, Rich.
Yes, it is, and here's my analysis of that situation, that the Obama people are using the economy exactly the way the Bush folks used 9/11. that as long as they had the momentum and they had the ability, they were just, the Bush people were just going to push the national security envelope as hard as they could, as far as they could, until somebody, either the court or the Congress, said enough, stop.
Don't waste a crisis.
That's right. And exactly right. And that's what the Obama people are doing with the economic crisis. They're throwing everything they can into, as you've read and everybody else has read, the budget bill, which comes under different rules in the House and the Senate, so they're not, you can't filibuster it in the Senate. But the cap and trade, both the cap and trade and I think card check will, I don't think they will make it through those kinds of shenanigans, because the costs, the costs of both of them are so enormously high, and on the employee, on the card check business, there's every member of Congress and every senator's got way more small business people in their district.
Yep.
Than they have unions
mm-hmm.
in their district. But one of the things that has to happen is that you got to get on the phone and call and say you can't
yep.
do this.
That's right.
And I will tell you, I worked for Senator Kay Bailey Hutchison over the summer for about 3 months to kind of help her organize her communication shop. And I will tell you that even a Senate office like Hutchison from one of the biggest states, huge office, tons of people, they are very, and she was very sensitive to any change in the phone call frequency on a particular
mm-hmm.
issue. So don't think you're going to get lost in the shuffle. If you pick up the phone and make a call and say you're from Texas or Oklahoma or whatever state and call your senators and your congressmen, that'll get tabulated and make a difference.
It will.
And make them stop.
And it'll be totaled up and the sheer numbers will come across. Rich, I want to ask you about something one of your old bosses, Newt Gingrich, said over the weekend. He's quoted as saying that he thought if the GOP, the Republican Party, doesn't make some changes pretty fast, that there's a chance that there could be a third party opening up in the next couple of years.
Yeah, which I'm not opposed. The problem with third parties in America is they have typically been a cult of a personality, everything from Teddy Roosevelt to Ross Perot. But the Republican Party is in danger of just not being the minority party, but being a minor party.
Right.
If you keep rushing to the edge, you're asking for more and more votes out of fewer and fewer people.
I liked what somebody called them the right wing of big business. I mean a big government.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it'd be like, for those of us, in listening to this show and being on this show, you can't ask for more and more money out of fewer and fewer customers.
Right.
You need more customers.
So what do you think? I mean, would you be part of that party, that third party?
I would certainly take a look at it. If the end result were this, that the Republicans were the conservatives, the Democrats were the liberals, and this third party drew from both and be in the middle, that would mean that in the Congress you would actually have to negotiate with each other, because
mm-hmm.
neither the Republicans nor the Democrats on the two edges would have enough votes to carry. It's like all elections. In every congressional district now, you have Republicans, Democrats, and Independents, and you have to market to those Independents because there's not enough votes in either of to win.
Here's the scenario I see to help to cause this thing to happen. The Democrats overplay their hands so much on these liberal issues. The Republicans don't know whether they're washing or hanging out, and you're going to have a third party that will emerge.
Oh, and that would, as I said, that would be okay with me. I'd be perfectly happy.
Very interesting.
Somebody said the Republicans are trying to find their voice, and I keep saying a chorus is fine. We don't have to have one voice.
hey, Rich, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time. Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen, Mullings.com. Quick break. I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.